That got on the recording, just so you know, Elvis. All right.
Always got to have a little Elvis in your life.
Take one, pass it around. Don't let on yet. Don't take it from me. Here he comes.
That's right.
He got one. Awesome.
He got one.
So, you heard Pear talk about his first anniversary, right? I gotta let my thing get around a little bit.
Oh, yeah, we had fun.
Did I not make enough? What are those guys doing over there? What are you doing over there?
We have no class.
This one is not going to be comfortable. All right. Making coffee. Making coffee. You guys are missing coffees back there? Making coffees. The coffee maker. The coffinator. Okay, so you heard Pear talk about his first anniversary, right? I mean, he and Beth jumped on a train in St. Louis and went just outside of St. Louis to a town called Washington, which is kind of wine country. Probably went to a bed and breakfast, no doubt. It's kind of a nifty little town. You know what else is also out there? Kind of out there, outside of St. Louis? Near Washington, probably, maybe. I don't know because I've never been there. But you know what's out there? Daniel Boone's house. You know what Daniel Boone's house is like? Trying to find it? You get outside the city, heading for like Washington, like Pear and Beth did, in your car. And you see the sign, right? Historic Daniel Boone house. 5 miles ahead. Sweet. Whoever's in the car with you, they're like, let's go see Daniel Boone's house. Daniel Boone, after all, right? So you drive the 7 miles.
And you sing the song. Sing.
Daniel Boone. You're trying to get me to sing. Right? So the sign says Daniel Boone's house, 5 miles ahead. So you drive the 8 miles, and no sign of Daniel Boone's house. But you do run into another Daniel Boone sign, right? Turn right at the next right. 2 miles to Daniel Boone's house. Well, I went 8 when it told me to go 5. I guess I'll turn there. So you turn and there's another sign. Daniel Boone just ahead. So there you go. What does just mean? When it says just ahead? It's just. I was thinking a mile. Yeah, I was thinking a mile or something. But, you know, 5, 6 miles. Did I miss something? You're saying to people in the car. I didn't see anything. All right, maybe we should give this... Wait, there's a sign. What's it say? Daniel Boone, turn right at the snow cone machine, you know? So you turn right there, and Daniel Boone house will be right there. But you turn there, and there's another sign, and it says, almost there, almost there, just 2 more miles. So you go, and you go, and you go, and, you know, after your 4 miles of the 2 miles, you still haven't found it. And pretty soon you go... That's it. I've had it. There's no Daniel Boone house out here. I'm done. After my 30 miles of driving, I gave up on finding the Daniel Boone house, which was 5 miles just ahead. So I have never been to the Daniel Boone house. I don't know if you have.
We did find it once.
Shut up.
After we turned around and went back, because you get there, there is no sign when you reach it. There's all these big signs telling you, I'm getting there. And then you drive right by because there's no sign at the place.
Yes. Kind of like Leukenbach, Texas, if you're a country music person. You drive through it about 14 times, and then you realize, I drove through it 14 times. Anyway, the reason I bring that up is, that's kind of like, it reminds me of what church shopping is in a way. You know? You get out there, and you want a church shop, you know, we got to find us a church. And you go visit some church, and you're there, I don't know, one time, and they're not very friendly. So you go to the other church down the road, and it promises this or that. It's got this going or that going. But after about 3 times, you know, that's not working. Is there another one we can go to? Yeah, there's that one down the street. You go to that one? No, that's not cutting it. Reminds me of searching for the ever-elusive Daniel Boone house. Now, if you take your little handout here, though, look at that heading. Now that's a sign. You know you love us. What are you waiting for? That's my soft sell to you if you're not a member. Join us because you know you love
us. So this has been like a time charity the entire time?
Yes, pretty much. Welcome to Free Grace. Time share.
We'll give you a free TV when you sign up.
Yes.
You might give up work and give it to
you. Right, but you'll get it, and it's free. Yeah. Anyway, that's my soft sell on Free Grace. I got a harder sell if you want to come talk to me. This is our last week to talk about vows, at least in here in Sunday school. So take a look at those vows. You got them, all five of them. Right? That first one, do you acknowledge yourself to be a sinner in the sight of God, justly deserving his displeasure, and without hope, save in his sovereign mercy? Right? We all agree we're sinners, right? Number two, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, and do you receive and rest upon him alone for salvation as he is offered in the gospel? We're all saying, you know, it's Jesus who saves us, right? We all need Jesus. And number three, do you now resolve to promise and humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that you will endeavor to live as becomes the followers of Christ? No, we're all saying, I'm going to live that way. I'm a sinner. It's Jesus who needs to save me, and I'm going to live that way. He did save me. I belong to him, and I'm going to live that way. Do you promise to support the church in its worship and work to the best of your ability? Yeah, I'm going to join the church, and I'm going to get my hands dirty with these folks. And then number five, do you submit yourself to the government and discipline of the church? Promise to study its purity and peace. Do I submit to the leadership of this church or whatever church I join? And will I defend her, the church, and what she believes in? Is there anything missing from these vows? And that's not a trick question. I mean, are you sitting there going, you know, these vows should be longer, or there should be more to them? You're missing something. Or is there something that should be removed?
Who's still potty trained?
Stay focused.
Do you want to put something in there about potty training?
Should we move to the back of the room?
Do you promise to be potty trained when you come here? Yeah, is there something that you think should be removed? I know.
That was awesome, John.
Control yourself.
All right. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, yeah, do you think something should be added to these vows or something should be removed, like that particular vow isn't any good or isn't right? Or what do you think? Do you guys like all these vows? Think they're solid? Wouldn't add anything? Wouldn't subtract?
Well, what about just more details? Is this not the church document that might have that? Like, how do we know your stance on infant baptism or like other really specific stuff? Is that not what this is for? Because otherwise it's just really...
Yeah, it's definitely not what those vows are for. Okay. I mean, the vows would be like enormously long if you went into that, of course. You
know? Number six, we also do all this.
Right, exactly.
A lot of stuff in there.
Sort of like your job description, these 10 things, and then number 11, right? And other things as we deem necessary, right? Yeah.
So the fact that those things are not in the vows, does that mean that... Well, that means that you're not necessarily agreeing to anything more specific in the areas that aren't listed. Like, you're accepting me, not knowing my stance on infant baptism.
Yeah.
And I'm accepting the church not knowing its stance on infant baptism. So
right.
Anything that's other than this basic stuff right here, if it's important enough for me as an individual, then I need to debate it with you beforehand.
Or perhaps.
I mean, it's not...
Find out about it anyway.
But membership isn't dependent on my stance on any of those things.
Right.
Or whether or not I agree with absolutely every position the church takes.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, you remember Fair mentioned this before, that the vows don't say you'll agree to be Presbyterian, yeah. Pete said.
No, these are the questions that you answer after you've been through the class that tells you what it's all about. And then when you do your public proclamation, yeah, I understand the class, I agree with it. Then you say yes to this stuff. Mm-hmm. You got to get through the class first.
Yeah, if there is a class.
Well, if there isn't a class, then you have to interview the pastor and the elders and find out, because I'm not going to blindly agree to anything.
Yeah, but you would. I mean, you'd basically agree with these, wouldn't you? Would you say? I mean, would you take these vows and say? I mean, I look at these vows. Let me back up a little bit. I look at these vows and I think, wow, every church should have these vows. Every Christian, every evangelical church should. It's kind of basic. You know, this should belong in every church. You know, there's nothing super detailed about this or super Presbyterian about this. You know?
Well, as an example, the PCA has a really good brochure. I was wondering how we put that.
Yeah.
And we subtract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if somebody said, I'm totally a Christian, I say, well, here, read this.
Yeah, it kind of gives you the basics.
Covers what we need to hear. And if you want to get all detailed, if you're like, say you're a really well-churched person and you want to get into the nitty-gritty, great. Sit and talk with the pastor.
Yeah.
If you're not a well-churched person. I mean, I've been to churches where they have a full-on class, and I've been here. Well, I don't have a full-on class. I don't have anything. Sit and talk to the pastor. So you can do both. You know, if you're a well-churched person and you want to have a class, you may have one, you can have a pastor. Or, you know, if you're a brand new Christian and you have no idea what you're doing, or you have questions, you can read the brochure and talk to the pastor. I feel like it's... I feel like, in some regards, less is more, because that's why we have so many divisions nowadays. Because everybody gets all the time. Good morning.
Too much majoring in the minors, kind of saying?
Yeah, too much majoring in the minors, and that's why you end up with... I mean, what's that first show saying you write about?
Well, why do you have fights and quarrels and stuff? Is it not because you're not getting what you want?
Right. And I think we have so many fights and quarrels because we're constantly going back. And I think Satan uses that to keep us fighting amongst ourselves instead of getting out there and talking to people about Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. On the flip side, the vows. I mean, can you pick a church based on these vows?
Well, I'd ask more questions, but I've been to church since I was old enough to be dropped off in the nursery.
Yeah.
So I know a lot. But if I was a brand new Christian, I could get by with this. Because I'm not that picky.
Well, if you walked... Kind of my point, and I'm not saying it all that well, is I think any evangelical church would, anybody in any evangelical church might look at these and go, yeah, it should be true on any church.
Well, but if you look at number 5, the one to submit yourself to the government of the church,
yeah.
I think that kind of encompasses all the things that the church believes in a certain way.
What do you mean?
Well, for example, our church believes in infant baptism, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're submitting yourself to the government of the church, you're kind of saying, like, okay, I'm going to go along with that. I'm agreeing to go along with this. I'm agreeing to submit myself to that proceeding.
Yeah.
Or that belief.
Yeah, but if you were in a Methodist church, I mean, it's kind of unreasonable to go into a church and say, I agree with all these vows, but I am not going to submit to the leadership of the church. Right? Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, non-denominational. There's leadership there for a reason, right?
But I've been, in our last church, we didn't join because the membership vows included specific things, like right down to your position on end times.
Really?
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That greater minds than mine have argued about that for centuries. I'm not worrying about it. But I'm not going to say I believe this and sign this paper that says I believe everything listed on this paper if I can't say that I believe everything on this paper. So they didn't care. Most people signed that, not even knowing what half those words meant.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like I could agree to a very particular position, you know, that was required in the membership vows.
So really kind of too much detail kept you from being able to affirm those vows.
Right.
Yeah. How do you guys...
But it didn't stop your agreement.
No,
right.
And...
Which is the interesting part, because I think part of the questions you're asking, sort, they obviously are applying if you're going to be really dedicated to a church in the sense of agreeing to the vows, but when you're saying, I think you already asked, like, would, if you looked at this, would you join a church?
Right. On the basis of that alone?
I would. I think I'd go, to be honest. I think that people don't really consult the vows necessarily. Like, it's something that you could agree to, but there's a lot of things that happen in a church that might deviate from that. So there could be a church out there who has this exact same thing, but they don't follow any of it. So I'd go and see what it's like.
So those vows would tell you, I think I'd be comfortable to worship there, but I'm not sure I want to be a member, just based on the vows.
Unless you're saying they match the vows. If the church matches their vows, why is all different from
being in public? Robert?
I might be misunderstanding what some of you guys are driving at. It's almost like, it almost seems, not to say that you get the cart before the horse, but these are vows that the church is accepting you. They're not designed for you to go church shopping and to look at, if you look at these and say, these are designed so that when you enter in the affirmative before the elders of the church is saying, okay, based on this, we believe that you're given a credible profession of faith. And so therefore we're receiving you as a member. And that's what these are designed for. They're not really designed for us to go out and look for a church, because the general question is, they're not specific questions like Alex was talking about, doctrinal questions. In some ways they are, because you have to have some sort of teaching about church discipline and government and all that, but they boil it down to a bare minimum so that the church can look at that and say, okay, I believe that person is given a credible profession of faith, will receive you into the church and there.
Yeah, and that is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to actually get the cart before the horse a little bit here. Great point. The reason I'm trying to get the cart before the horse is to ask you, so how do you pick a church?
So, just something.
Pick a church? I'm looking at their vows. What else? How do you guys feel about picking a church?
About right now that say,
ice cream social snacks. Yeah, how do you guys pick a church? Be honest here too. I mean, you know, think about all the times you've had to pick a church and tell me, you know, what's some of your criteria you've used?
I think the church is based on if you go out and talk music, like, you
said that. Okay.
What music's like, which I could go into a lot of times, but I think I do, but I want that to see if it's something that I can really hard to do. The other thing I think you pay attention to is like how much participation is there from the people who are not standing in front.
So you want people,
and it could be participation of any sort. It could be responsive reading, or it could be reading a confession together,
so
or
you don't
just
have
be singing.
Day,
like,
you, don't make
you were mentioning a couple weeks ago how you went to some church and people weren't really singing because the music was so loud for whatever reason. Like I want to be in a church where the people are like doing it; they're not being entertained.
Yeah.
So.
So you elaborated on it a little bit, but you started off with kind of music style and then went from there, you know, you want to see how the congregation's participating and so forth.
Throughout the entire service. Like I want there to be elements in the service that encourage people to like grab hold of their faith and do it actively even during the service, not just kind of sit there and watch. Also, and then as a third thing, I'll just add on
outside people
have to be home. Super outgoing and real. They have to be real. Kind of don't want any of that like churchy like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dorian.
Yeah. You want to be part of a congregation, not an audience. That's been the first part for us.
When they're around other people that they don't know.
Very new, and this is a long drive. So
you don't know.
It's a lot of churches
at home that you grew up with.
And it's been awful. I'm so sorry that finding a church has been this hard, and yeah, I've been really picky, and now, you know, we're one church, and we have to take over lunch.
Do you usually pay when you're up?
And sometimes we're happy to go back again and keep trying. Sometimes it puts us off so badly that we're like, oh, that's not happening. We're just polite enough to not get up in the middle of service and leave. Because something is pressing upon us saying, this is not the right place, at least for us. Maybe it's an awesome place for somebody else, but not for us. We have to be a part of a congregation. We have that feeling of we're all a part of the participation with the Spirit of God, and we're not just being not a lecture.
We don't know people.
And I know you know the difference between a lecture and a sermon.
It's
different. No, I don't want to be going to a lecture. I can watch those on YouTube. And I want to be in a concert, a rock concert, of rock music. I'll turn up the stereo. But you can't participate in an obligation if it's a concert. Because we're not lighting up our phones.
Good. We don't want to blow up the pastor's head too good, you know. Encore.
I'd almost rather go to a congregation where there's no wrong teaching. Where there's wrong teaching, but the people in the pews are really passionate about it. Where you could like talk to people and have a study and discuss, and people are interested. And maybe sort of, you know, change things rather than where the teaching is correct and everybody's just standing. Because then you're just like, you're not going to get anywhere regardless of how good the teaching is.
I mean, like, teaching maybe that's not as detailed, not necessarily wrong, but like it's not the complete answer.
Like it's a message instead of a sermon?
Well, if it's missing some important parts, it's not exactly wrong, but it's just really general. But you can participate.
Let me get to these guys over here. Paul and Bob, you guys both were wanting to say something.
I was going to say that, I look for tangible evidence that the members of the congregation love and care for one another.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, see how they love one another. And that's very important to me. And you. But no rock.
Paul, what were you going to say?
I'm reflecting on what I identified as how I viewed the church as a lifeboat when we first started this.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess two thoughts. One is, when you're looking for a lifeboat, you want to make sure it's going to help save your life. And I look at the a church as having the ability, the support, whatever it is to help save my spiritual life. And so there's a sense of urgency there. And the other thought I had was, I need your help because I don't know when this started in the history of the church. Like in the Old Testament, I mean, the very new Testament church. When did this come into being? You know, were there vows? You know, you met in people's houses. You had relationships. Mm-hmm. You had community. You had passion. You had commitment to one another.
Yeah.
And you know, it's amazing how we've evolved to this. To what? Save our lives and help save other lives and bring fruit to those lives.
Mm-hmm.
So. I think you're right about love, patience, honesty, reality, commitment.
Yeah. So you're kind of looking for the marks of Christian love.
Mm.
You know, what the body should be presenting.
Right.
Is it just a little bit
where I'm also looking for to find a reformed doctrine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one thing. You know, I listed just a few things here, and that was one of them. You know, pick a church by the, you know, this one's Calvinistic and this one's Arminian. I'm a Calvinist, so I got to go over there. Well, I mean, you know, there's 2-point Calvinists, 1-point, 5-point, no point, right?
A lot of
4-point
Calvinists.
Nothing
comes between me and my Calvinists.
Yeah. What are some of the other?
Those of you old enough to remember that.
Yeah. What are some of the other reasons you picked church?
I'm looking for a real strong Bible teacher and somebody that wants to help me grow, not just be stagnant. I want to be challenged. And if I don't have that, somebody in the Bible teaching it word for word, I don't want to go there. And all these other things, I agree. It's very important that my husband said fellowship, true fellowship with
How many of you guys have heard this? That church isn't very friendly. When I went visiting, when I went to visit that church, nobody greeted me. Nobody said hello. How many of you guys have heard that before? Or said
it?
Or experienced it.
Or experienced it, right? I mean, that's a reason not to go to a church, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've all even known people that, you know, just not that church, or we've done it ourselves, right?
One of the first times, I think the first week we came here, the very first week we came here, we were approached that week and said, hey, we're doing this. It's our turn at the Root Cellar on Thursday night. Can you come help? Our first week here. And, you know, that might turn off some people, but I was looking for a place that where I could serve as well as be served. You know, a lot of people I know say, well, they don't have Sunday school, or they don't have women's Bible study, or they don't have things for my teens. And I understand why people are looking for certain things, but also there's the other side of that, like not just for what the church can do for you, but what you can do. How can do they have anything there that I can help with the limited gifts that I have? You know, Dan had great ministry involvement at East Auburn. He had lots of things he could do. You know, is he going to have to give up everything that is important to him to come to this other place? You know, so how can I serve the church there?
Yeah. There's a gazillion reasons for picking a church, and there's a gazillion reasons for eliminating a church on a list as we're trying to search for it. But almost all of them, when you think about it, are self-absorbed reasons.
Yeah,
I
just sounded totally self-absorbed there. Sorry.
No, actually, you opened the door to the next thing, which is not self-absorbed. When you think about it, I mean, I've heard everything from, you know, if the church doesn't have coffee.
Or bad coffee.
I do a coffee. Right? I've heard everything from that to they're not very friendly, to they don't have Sunday school, to they don't have a kids ministry, to I'm not being fed there. That's one of my favorites. I'm not being fed there. I don't like the pastors preaching. You know?
My favorite was I have to do something. Why can't I just show up?
Right.
Into service and go home.
Right. Right.
That was my favorite.
Right. I've heard all those. You guys, if you're church people, you've heard them all too, haven't you? My next question there, how big is your God? Now, we're a Reformed church, so at our core, if you're thinking about this church, here's one thing you need to know. At our core as Reformed people, we believe in God's sovereignty, right? We believe in it big. He's in control of everything. Every jot and tittle knows you, how many hairs you have. Doesn't know when a bird falls from the sky. It only falls from the sky because he ordains it, right? I mean, that's the level of sovereignty we're talking about in a Reformed church. So my question, how big is your God? Did God draw you to the church you're choosing? Did he draw you to that church? Or are you picking a church based on what you want and what your needs are? You can't answer this. If it's anything but a good one, we have to get rid of you, and you're the church lady. You and Sarah can't answer either. Go ahead.
My answer sort of bridges from the last question to this question. When I was young, I don't think I was ever taught about how to pick a church. When you and I got married and moved to St. Louis, we had no idea what to do. And now I really am glad we're doing this, because I think we should teach about that regularly. You don't pick.
No, you're not allowed to leave once you come. There's no leaving.
Once you check in, there's no leaving. Invisible link.
I'm pretty sure I heard Bastard just call us the Roach Motel. I'm still stuck on that. That's kind of awesome.
No, we just have to be what I was going to say, though, is that should just be something that we're teaching our kids as we're raising our children. You pick a church. You pray. And pray. Access the people came together, you know, and met regularly. Mm-hmm. And it was the Lord's leading and guiding and coming out. And you don't pick your family. You know, you go to Thanksgiving and it is who it is. You know, whoever's there is whoever's there. You know, you don't pick them out and say, well, Uncle Joey's going to be there, you know, and what a weirdie. You know, I mean, You
guys,
hold on.
I'm waiting, trying to wait.
She's raising her hand in solidarity, like I have one of those.
Yeah, I mean, you go and that's who's there. And you thank the Lord for the year and you're there. I mean, so to me, a church is a family. And so whenever people are like, well, I have to do too much, or I have to do too little, or somebody did this, I'm like, really? Do you do that with your family? You get over it because it's a family.
That does sound like family right there. Yeah.
Well, okay, Alice.
Oh, ooh, you're busted. Alice next.
Well, no, I was just thinking about what you were saying, and I think you're right, and it's hard to know. It's like one of those things. Jake, you know, Jake is the reason that we are here, because, you know, Jake used to see me at the library and say, you used to go to a Reformed church. I know that. You need to come to Free Grace. And
I didn't know that.
Because of the Clarks, I think.
Oh, okay.
But, so it was like, oh, you know, so, yeah, we knew about Free Grace. We actually, even before that, I remember when I first learned that they were starting one in Portland. Right? It was on the radio. We had this little, like, well, you know, do we really want to take the kids, little kids at that point, drive an hour? We'll make friends with someone who lives an hour south of Portland. And so we kind of said, oh, we're going to plug our ears and pretend we don't know about that Reformed church in Portland. And then Jake was there, you know, and it's like, yeah, but we've been not in the church plant, but on the other end of things, where a church was down to six families, and we're like, you're living it. I mean, you're doing everything, and you've started a church, so you know that. And it was like, again, little kids. I don't want to. You know, and then finally, it was sort of like, now's the time, and it worked. So how much of that was me dragging my feet and kicking and screaming?
Well,
how much of that was really God's timing? It's hard.
It's all God's timing. I think
I appreciate what you said, but I think that Linda. Well, I appreciate what you said too, but Linda, I appreciate what you said. But I think that's from the perspective of being in a church already, being in a family already. That's an opinion of like I shouldn't just leave because I don't like you. But if you're just moved to a new city and there's 10 churches around you, you can't just go to one and say, well, this is where God's called me.
Oh,
like my dad, moved to a new place and just went to the closest church by him, and that's where he goes. Because it's the closest place. That's weird. That is not
close. That's weird. I mean, you're right. You do have to do something. It's like everything. You have, in everything, you have to pick your job, you have to pick your car, you have to pick your clothing. I mean, there's a certain amount of free will in life where you have some things you have control over. So, of course, you have to get out of bed and say, what kind of theology did they have? You know, if they're kooks, you're not going. You know, if you walk in there and it's totally Ice Cube City and everybody's a zombie, you may not go back. If it's so loud you can't hear yourself think, you may not go back. Yes, you do have to have kind of, okay, these things work. But I mean, it's also a matter of prayer. You know, you don't just go, well, it's all about me, and Jesus has nothing to do with it. I'll go in there and pick and choose based on what I feel like today. No, you don't. You got to pray. And you got to go with what the Lord directs you, not just because you have your nice little shopping list, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, that's the question. Does God call you to his choice, or does he call you to your choice? And if he calls you to his choice, What does that look like? When you shop for a church, what does that look like? Like Robert said, this is part of it, don't you think? I mean, you have the criteria right here in the vows to know what the church expects from you to accept you to be a member. I'll go a little further than Robert, though, and I'll say, well, they're vows. You're taking vows to say you'll be active and so forth and protect the church and that. That's kind of basic. If God is calling you to His choice, how do you change your shopping system when you're looking for a church? What does it look like?
Is this the point where we admonish people not to join the perfect church for fear of ruining it?
That's great.
You've all heard that, right?
There's no such thing.
I mean, we're all guilty of having eliminated churches for this reason or that reason. You know, like the friend in this one. You know, I visited twice. Nobody greeted me. Nobody talked to me. You know, that stings, and that's not what you want. You want a church that's friendly. But if you have the gift of hospitality, if you're an outgoing personality like I am, they need me for Pete's sake, right? That doesn't mean that's the church for me. I'm not saying that. But there's a hint that this might be in my church. This might be a place for me, right? How do you change your way of shopping if God's calling you to His choice instead of yours? What do you do about your desire to have coffee?
Bring coffee.
Children's ministry.
Yeah.
Bring coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there's an element where God sustains it over time. That's a part of maybe figuring out your spot. Is it's, you know, I can feel very called very briefly to a lot of places having one good experience, but I think a part of knowing a little bit more about God's spot for you right then is that He makes it either something for you to add or interesting to you, and it is over time. It is like, you know, you will have some reasons to not go there, but God gives you significant reasons to stay, whatever those are, and it is for, it's not just once, because there's a lot of really flashy churches where you can feel very spiritual, very excited, very connected, see a million volunteer programs, all kinds of really active stuff, and feel like, oh, they have 20 volunteer groups, I could be called to that, and you might be, but I feel like it's more than just kind of a single visit, or it's part of it, that it's over time, that you keep coming back for whatever the reasons are.
Yeah.
I think that's a question that just occurred to me, you're identifying why you're here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been here, I don't know, a few weeks, right?
What?
We've seen some similar people. I wonder, why do you keep coming? Why do you keep coming? Why do you travel all the way from New Hampshire? There may be all kinds of different things that we experience and bring to this. You know, what do we share? What's different?
Mm-hmm.
What needs is this place meeting? How do we know it's a safe boat? We don't come back to a boat with what's there.
Yeah.
So, you know, why do
we
keep
coming? Thankfully.
Yeah, Robert?
I think as far as us looking for a church where to go, I think we should have a very small list of things that are, to me, there's a very small list of things that are non-negotiable, and probably the first thing is the preaching. And I'm not there for the church to meet my needs. I'm there. The fourth commandment tells us that every single Sunday we can meet together to worship God. That sounds really, you know, perfect and theologically correct and all, but that's really what we're there for. And so for me to sit there and make this long list, I know that we do it mostly with our tongue in cheek about the coffee, the ice cream, and that sort of thing. I mean, some people are so shallow that they would use those as criteria, but for me, the criteria needs to be an extremely small list of things that, for me, are non-negotiable. And there are other things that I may not like, but if I had to, I'd go there. But there are certain types of churches I won't set foot in. I'll go 500 miles to go to a church every Sunday before I'd step foot in certain churches. But the list of things is very, very small. And the reason why I go that far is because I see in some churches there are things that I just couldn't tolerate because of the things that they teach, the way they preach, maybe. But I just, you know. So anyways, for me, the list needs to be really, really small. The things that I'm looking for. That would make me want to go there. And there are, you know, the friendliness of the people is probably one of those things. It's just a frosting on the cake.
Anyways, what, have you ever been surprised by a church that you felt like you should go to?
I did. When I came back to Maine, I wasn't a Christian when I was a kid. And I was a Christian when I was in the service. And when I came back to Maine, I had no idea there were anything but Catholic churches in Maine. I was afraid to come to Maine because I'd seen so many of my friends leave the church and just fall away. And I didn't want to. And the first thing I did when I came back to Maine before I even got a job was looked for a church in the first couple places I went into, and I was like, and I'm not saying back then I had a good list of things that I was looking for, but I just knew these people were out to lunch a couple times. They were okay churches, but when I went to the church, I found the church that I went to where I met Joanne. The first three people that I met were pastors, and I didn't even know.
It's amazing you know that.
Two of them I didn't even know they were pastors, but one of them I met. Like almost a week later, I was coming out to a prayer meeting in the midweek service, and he comes up to my truck as I'm getting out of the parking lot, and he goes, "Hi, my name's Warren Geldmeyer. I saw you on Sunday, but I didn't get a chance to say hi." And it just blew me away that guy noticed me, because I made a beeline for the door when church was over, because I didn't know anybody. I was shy, and I just left. And when he saw me, and so it was things like that for me, but I know that those are just, you know, anecdotal story that I could tell, that somebody else could tell other stories that are like that. But to me, that was unmistakably, I knew that I was to go there. And the third person that I met was a pastor. He took me to his house afterwards. We had ice cream. That's why I made a comment about ice cream. And he took his Bible out and started reading one of the Psalms. And to me, I knew that he loved Jesus, and that was the clincher right there, that he started asking questions about me and all this stuff, and it was like, he loved the Bible, and I was like, why would you ever want to go anywhere else? At least at the time, that was me, so I'll end with that.
Bob?
There are certain concrete clues if you look long enough, but I won't say where it was, but over my way, I go in, and in the middle of the service, the pastor feels it's important to share with you an aria from Phantom of the Opera. I'm serious. This really happened.
Peril seems to be a jest.
This is a clue. You might all want to be there.
Well, okay, hold on. I have to. Not having been, I don't know all the context of that or whatever, but I don't think there's anything wrong with sharing a piece of art in the middle of the sermon. If it's topical and it can make a point,
trust me, it was neither.
Okay,
no offense, but I can't think of a circumstance where that would be important, especially in
what you guys want to. That would be a good conversation for you guys to have.
Somewhere
afterwards.
I love to see it live, so I have an appreciation for it.
Well, Robert, in the middle of what Robert said there, he talked about us coming to worship, right?
I don't know.
Sunday church service is really about us giving. It's more, way more about us giving than getting. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get, and we should get. And we have needs, and we should look to, you know, have those needs addressed, not met by each other, but addressed anyway. That's how God loves his people, through his people, right? Through his word and so forth. We're going to get if we come every Sunday. But primarily we're here to give. Primarily we're here to give. If you are going to get, I don't want to mischaracterize this, but if you're not needy, you can't affirm these vows. So, you know, you come here needy, and you do get. But primarily, we're here to give. And I think as people, as human beings, we tend to think of, in terms of what church we want to join or worship, tend to think in terms of what does it bring to my life? You know, what does it do for me? What needs does it meet? When I think we should be thinking, what do we have to offer this body? And you have something to offer any body of believers you step into. That doesn't necessarily mean that's the church you should join, right? I mean, there's lots of different things here. I never intended us to think of all of them, but to have you think about, well, how's my way of shopping for a church change if I change my attitude from, you know, having my needs met by this church to thinking about how do I offer what I have, my personality, my talents, my gifts. Where do I fit in? Right? Does that make sense? Any other comments? I'm kind of running
I think it has to be both.
Out of time.
I think it has to be both.
It does have to be both. It does.
I'm not sure which comes first, but it depends on the day, but it's both.
There's a psalm that I always like, Psalm 37. In it, it says, I've been young and now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken or the descendants begging for bread. And I always think of parents, especially somebody like Billy and Sarah with their little one. How they would, they're not deadbeat parents. They'll feed that child, clothe that child, protect that child, do anything to nourish that child of theirs and grow. And I always think God's not a loser. He doesn't just, you know, we get born again and he just leaves us to flounder. He's not like that. Otherwise, he wouldn't be worthy of our worship. And I don't mind saying it because he's not a loser. And he provides for us a nourishing environment, a place for us to go, and knowing that we need to give to him, but at the same time, it's one of those things that just naturally happens. How it does is a mystery to me, but we get from him as we give to him. And I always think of that psalm, that God's not a deadbeat, that he provides for us his the best.
Yeah, faithful. Sovereign, faithful. Yeah. So, I have run us out of time. That last thing, what's next? You know you love us. What are you waiting for? Join us. That's my soft self. Do it today. No, just kidding. It's just a reminder. We have t-shirts and stuff. Who wants a t-shirt? Sean wants.
He came prepared.
He's actually getting
prepared.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Still no one wants a
t-shirt. Oh, yeah, that was quite.
The size of it.
Who wants one of these, baby? Who wants one of these?
Thank God. I thought it was getting out.
Free merch.
Water thingy. Can't put it in the dishwasher. Who drinks
I'm
water?
I'm a little disturbed.
You raised your hand.
No, I don't want one, but.
What do you mean you don't want? Give that back. Who doesn't hate cleaning one of these? And, oh, Doreen!
I would if I didn't have drinking them already.
I'm a little disturbed because when we started this study, you said that the purpose of this study wasn't to push people to join.
Yeah, I totally lied.
But it wasn't a membership class. It wasn't. Yeah.
It isn't. I'm just teasing about that stuff, although glad to give them away.
At least you didn't shoot it out of a gun like the ball.
That would have been sweet. Wouldn't have gone well for Doreen. Might have gone well for Sean. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just kidding with that stuff. It's not a push to become members. But, you know, it is an encouragement to consider free grace, of course, but consider your criteria for looking for a church in the first place. That's what it's really about. If you're not a member of this church, meet the people who are. Right? Find out who free grace is about, what they're about. What we believe. You know, talk to us elders. Get Pear to take you to lunch. You know, he will. He'll go to lunch with you. Y'all like Taco Bell, right? You know, do the stuff that you need to do. Consider this place. Consider how you might fit. And then, for those of you that are members, consider how you fit and where you fit. And your own personality, your talents and gifts. And tell us where you fit and plug in. So it really is not meant to be a sales pitch. It isn't. Don't take it that way. That's all I have for you about membership vows. Next week we're going to do something different. Not exactly sure what yet.
Square dancing.
Square dancing, maybe.
Conga line, right?
Conga line.
Just remember, it isn't a sale fee. They have to find the box.
Yeah, that's right. Good point.
That's what I'm
sure. Good point.
He's doing all the talking. Yeah.
I need somebody to close. Pair with you.
Heavenly Father, you have called us to be your church. And that binds us together beyond these walls, beyond vows that are taken. There's a deeper reality that all we who come to you as our Father are your church, your people. And we are bound together in Jesus Christ to your glory. And that is the joy that we celebrate as we talk about these things. As we sit here now, as we go out in life. Father, that doesn't end just because we walk out the door. It continues all week and for all eternity. And we give you thanks for that. Work in us. Strengthen us that we may live out what we've been talking about. Being bound together. Living it out to each other. To our community. Here where you have called us to be this part of your body. And where you have called each and every one of us to be. Father, you have promised to walk with us. As we walk with you. So we come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, drawing near by your grace, that we would know the wonder of your presence with us for all eternity.
Just so you, if you want to know your leaders a little bit better, Pear gets compared to Harrison Ford and Nazis. And, somebody just today compared me to a drug-dealing science teacher in high school. And on TV, a TV character. Walter White. Telly Savalas. Timothy Hutton on 30-something, for those of you who have a little age beneath you. And Ned Flanders from The Simpsons. I've never seen that show, so.
Not even close.
I think I look more like Mark McGuire. What do you think?
He has like Gandhi.
Or Gandhi, I'll go with that. He wasn't a baseball player, but he's pretty cool. That or Sean Connery. I think I look like Sean Connery. What do you guys think? Yes? Awesome. Sounds good. We'll go with that. All right. Fly, be free. Have a good Sunday.
Have free lunch with Pear.
Heck yeah.
I didn't cash in on that. No, instead, I gave you and Linda lunch, I think. I don't remember if you, I know you guys came over.
Oh, yes.
Did I? Yeah. I gave you a free lunch instead of me getting a free lunch. I lost out on that. Church membership.
He'll take you to lunch.
I didn't get a free lunch. I joined a long time ago. I'm expensive to eat.
Pear should take her lunch.
I feel like if Karen makes me lunch, I'll think I did something wrong. Like, oh, how should I go?
He's buying you lunch.
He is.
I have to be in the
thumbprint?